has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Tuesday live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And let's see, we've got a rally going on. I saw a big drop in the 10-year. Last time I looked, it was down 10 basis points. A big rally taking place right now. A lot of action in the AI stocks. S&P 500 right now up 19 points to 43.55. The Dow is up 100 points right now to 33,704. The Nasdaq up 63 points to 13,549. And I just got to tell you, those charts continue to look better and better every day on the S&P, the Dow, the Nasdaq. And, of course, we've been predicting this would happen. There have not been a lot of people out there on the macro front saying, you know, the Nasdaq looks good here. And we started saying a couple weeks ago after that correction. Crude oil down 80 cents to 85.58. Gold up $5 to 18.69, and the 10-year, it's down 10 basis points. And I did see, even though the bond market was closed yesterday, I saw the bond ETFs in rally mode yesterday. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And, of course, next week at this time, we'll be in Bloomington Hills, Michigan, meeting with the folks, one of my favorite things to do. If you would like to set up an appointment with us there for next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Okay, well, you know, the market, if we just look at a chart, of the Nasdaq. Well, let's look at yesterday first. We had a decent day in the market yesterday. And Barry, this all kind of defies logic. You've got this global turmoil. But as I said yesterday, I see it as of now, okay, not really impacting the global economy that much. Now, the market never likes uncertainty. You know, the market seems to be shaking off, at least for now, this turmoil in the Middle East. And yesterday we closed up. We had a pretty good day in the market. The oil stocks, obviously, very strong, very strong. Not so much today. The defense stocks yesterday, very strong. In fact, they were probably the leaders in the market. And then I would say the third best performing sector were the tech stocks, number three. And, you know, it helped. The Dow was up 197 yesterday. The Nasdaq was up 53. And we're up about those same numbers again here today. We had comments from one of the Fed movers, one of the Fed influencers, right? The Reserve Vice Chair. Okay, he's second in command, Philip Jefferson. And I'm just saying, Jefferson for president. He gave a pretty dovish talk on interest rates, and I think that helped the market a lot yesterday, and I think it's spilling over into the market today. It's just hard for me to imagine that they would hike rates more, but you know what? Again, it comes down to the numbers. It comes down to the data, and it comes down to where inflation is at. And we continue to get those numbers on a regular basis. The energy sector was up 3.5% yesterday. The defense contractors like Northrop Grumman, General Dynamics, Lockheed Martin, United Air, or other defense contractors. They had a really good day yesterday. And then the travel stocks and the oil kind of stocks, the stocks that use a lot of oil, the airlines, the cruise ships, the companies that depend on travel, they were on the downside yesterday with the big jump in oil, which has moderated here today. There was also a good run yesterday in the cybersecurity stocks. I wonder why. And apparently, you know, part of that breach on Saturday was due to a cyber attack. The fence around Gaza, it's pretty high tech, and it, you know, it alerts to any kind of breaches. But from what I understand and from what I've read, what I've heard, there was also a cyber attack prior to, you know, the ramming of the fence, the breaking of the fence in several places, and then, of course, the incursion into Israel. So cybersecurity, a big one. One of the big winners yesterday was Palantir, PLTR, which kind of focuses on, you know, intelligence, high, very secure cybersecurity. And the other one that had a very good day yesterday was CrowdStrike, CRWD. And there were several other ones in that group. Lockheed Martin had a huge day yesterday, probably the stock of the day. Halliburton had an excellent day yesterday, one of the stocks of the day, also HAL. Now, what will become of Iran's oil shipments? Crude prices were 4% higher yesterday. The attack raises the possibility that the U.S. will escalate sanctions on crude oil exports from Iran. Well, I don't think we should have been allowing them all along, whose production had climbed to 3.1 million barrels per day in recent months as the U.S. and Europe ease sanctions on Iran. Probably not a good idea. That's just my opinion. It seems like Iran, probably the author of this attack, or played a big role in it. After all, Hamas is linked to Iran. The Wall Street Journal reported that Iran played an essential role in the Hamas attacks against Israel, which Iranian officials have denied. Well, of course they're going to deny it. But if the war were to expand, and oil production becomes one of the casualties, oil prices could rally accordingly. So oil is still kind of a wild card, oil prices. Let's just suffice it to say that we're not going to see cheap oil anytime soon. Okay, and you know, it's kind of interesting. I didn't put two and two together, but I read an article today that it was 50 years ago Saturday. Well, obviously, I knew that it was the 50-year anniversary of the Yom Kippur attack and war, but that was also the oil embargo. So I was a sophomore in high school, probably had my driver's license at that time, probably driving one of my parents' cars, and one of those sitting in line, you know, trying to get gas. 50 years since the 1973 oil crisis, and Deutsche Bank was comparing today's situation and indicators and saying that there's a lot of parallels between today and back then. Now, what has happened since then, obviously, was the fracking boom here in the U.S. Back then, we were much, much more dependent upon foreign oil. And what was the purpose of the oil embargo back then, coming from the Middle East? Well, they aimed it at nations that had supported Israel during the Yom Kippur War, causing energy prices to skyrocket and sparking fuel shortages in the U.S. And I'm sure most of the listeners can remember, you know, it came down to your license plate. Odd or even, if you're even number, this is your day you can get in line to get gas. It was basically rationing, you know, you had to get up pretty early in some cases. If you had to be at work by 8 o'clock, it was not a good thing at all. the oil shock was also probably the single biggest event in perpetuating the stagflation of the 1970s. So don't think for a minute that oil does not play a big role in the economy. Stagflation is not a good thing. That stagflation of the 70s was horrible to get through. And that's another comparison that Deutsche Bank is looking at here, today's world, that, you know, we're kind of in a stagflation environment because we have slow growth. We've obviously had inflation, but if we were to get an oil shock, that would not be good. All right, now when we come back, a lot of other stocks moving. We've got a lot of news out of China today and U.S. growth. What's this going to do to U.S. growth? We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. As the rally remains in place for now, the Dow up 100, the NASDAQ up 76 right now. And as I dug into it a little bit this morning, it was pretty much high tech. The AI stocks were on fire this morning. Oil stocks kind of taking a back seat after having a big day yesterday. The defense stocks had a big day yesterday. Not so much today. Now, Country Garden, all right? Country Garden. No, it's not a Hilton Hotel.
Sounds like a buffet.
Yeah, let's go down to the Country Garden and get some waffles and sausage. No, it's the biggest Chinese property developer. Along with the other one.
Evergrande.
Evergrande is the other one. Now, Country Garden's hitting 11 cents per share today, and copper is sliding as China's largest private real estate developer warns of default. You know, China's been really quiet lately. We're not hearing much out of China at all.
I think you said good or bad. It's either really good
that's usually
or
bad.
Really bad. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, Country Garden says that they have significant challenges. They warn of a default. They could default. How much debt do they have? $190 billion in debt. This is a private company. So this is not a good development for China. And China is considering some deficit spending here to boost their deficit, which they normally don't do, to stimulate economic growth. So they're looking for any kind. They've tried a lot of things. I would say I don't think they've ever recovered from COVID in China. I think it took a devastating blow.
Yeah. I was reading stories. In Macau would be great. You know, looking at some of those Macau stocks, right, are always a good kind of indication, right, of what's going on in China. It's because, and the other thing is, I've seen stories where, folks, it's harder to get your cash out of China, and folks are going on, WhatsApp and giving their, giving their money. Some of them are schemes, obviously, but. They're essentially, giving their money, even though they know it could potentially be a scheme, just to get their assets out of the country, which is, it's not great when you have a 50-50 chance of fraud and or an investment, right? It's not.
No, it doesn't seem like hardcore communism works. This is my observation over the years. Okay, the International Monetary Fund raises growth outlook for U.S. Okay, this is pretty big news, and I think it could have something to do with today's good action in the market. This is basically guiding higher. When we talk about companies guiding higher, well, this is an outside source, which is usually pretty conservative, the International Monetary Fund. But they raised our growth for 2023, which has only got one quarter left, but this should spill into next year, too, from 1.8 to 2.1. That's pretty good. I mean, that's like a company revising, we're not going to make $1.80. We're going to make $2.10. That's a really big upgrade. So anyways, there's that, which definitely goes along. Now, what was the title of Gunderson's newsletter this past week? Happy Soft Landing, which appears, okay, and this really reinforces that theory in that camp with the IMF saying, hey, the U.S. is going to have 2.1% growth in 2023 despite interest rates doing what they have done. That's the very definition of a soft landing.
It's pretty impressive. I mean, you know, they don't necessarily think it's, you know, there's a lot of course, the Fed's painting this picture, but also, I mean, just from an economic standpoint, there's a lot of stuff that's not in their control. But, we continue to trek along, and over time, I mean, especially since with the, is war in the Middle East. You've got it's a good sign, I think, that you're seeing a flight to safety, right, to where you're, as you mentioned early in the show, with the U.S. 10-year being down, the last time I looked was 10, 11 basis points. So, you know, the U.S. Treasury and dollar are still the safe haven asset. So,
yes, absolutely. Okay, now, talk about a CEO that can't do anything right. It just seems like, I don't know what's wrong with these guys.
I'm trying to guess which one it is.
Well, you know what? They choose where to invest their money, okay? You're running one of the biggest corporations in America called Bank of America. And I remember Moynihan, he's been telling investors for years that because of the bank's huge deposit base, that their earnings would take off when interest rates finally rose. Well, here we did. The Fed has hiked rates by 525 basis points since 2022. And you know what Moynihan and crew did with the money, that the windfall that they got? They invested in long-term U.S. treasuries.
Very long-term. I think even more than 20-year treasuries, which was one of SVB's problems. I think it was closer to 30-year, if I'm not mistaken.
The bank funneled billions of dollars into, and you're going to listen to them for investment advice? I'm just saying. Bank of America is Merrill Lynch and others. The bank funneled billions of dollars into long-dated treasuries and mortgage bonds. Why would you do that at low rates? That leaves Bank of America with large paper losses and some finger-pointing within its ranks.
And muted growth going forward. The problem is, of course, they could last for 30 years, and they could hold those for 30 years, and they would eventually, right, they're going to, the value of those things would begin trading closer to par. But the problem is, that capital, if you're going to hold it to maturity, well, that capital is going to be wrapped up for
yes.
30 years, which impedes their ability to grow and put money in elsewhere that's going to have a higher rate of return.
Yeah. And if your money's in reserve have been cut like that, they've got to raise more for their money in reserve. They got to do something to come up with the money there. In fact, of the four largest banks, Bank of America has the largest securities portfolio and the lowest yielding, with a good portion of its portfolio focused on debt that matures, actually it says in 10 years. But that, obviously, I mean, that's taken a major hit. Was it not obvious that the Fed, that interest rates were going to go up? Was it not obvious? You mean to tell me that Bank of America couldn't see that coming and instead plowed all of that money into treasuries, into the debt markets? Wow. That's a major investing. That's just investing 101 right there. And, of course, it brought Silicon Valley Bank down. And we don't know yet, you know, what's going to become. Is Bank of America going to have to do something kind of drastic here? I don't know. But they are reporting that they're getting out in front of it, as if there's going to be some fallout here. Okay, when we come back, we've got another one warning We've got one embracing the weight loss drugs and another one saying, it probably won't affect us. But, you know.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, the market, if anything, has gotten stronger here during this break. let's see. Okay, I just got a message. NASDAQ's up 118 right now. The Dow is up 167 points right now. The 10-year is, down 11 basis points to 4.69, which just tells you that Philip Jefferson, the vice chair of the Fed, moves the market more than Hamas moves the market. And, you know, I've said it and I'll say it again, the Fed moves the markets more than anybody. Go back and read, go to SeekingAlpha.com and go back and check our last several articles. I write one every week, and they've all been since the correction, okay? There was a correction in the NASDAQ. During that period of time, ARK went down 21%. The NASDAQ went down about 10%. And we just about called the bottom there in the NASDAQ saying, hey, this is going to turn. It's based on earnings, and we think interest rates are topping here, and we think oil is topping here. So far, we've been right again.
And
okay.
Soft landing, and you know, as long as that soft landing plays out, it really kind of extends that, really, the initial thesis that you had.
Yes.
You know, since going into 2023, it was – you know, staying, you know, large cap, you know, larger stocks, and also with a bit of a tech bent, and you know, as long as that this soft landing plays out, the longer that thesis stays in play.
Yes, so. Absolutely. And now we're going to get the earnings part, more clarification on the earnings part of the picture. I can just say that, you know, here we're 10 days into the close of the third quarter. We should have had a lot of warnings. If there were going to be warnings, we would have gotten them by now. We have not had hardly any warnings whatsoever. And in a moment here, we'll talk about the very first company to of any significance to report earnings here today. But first, I got to talk about Weight Watchers. You know, they've been famous for the meetings and the calorie counters and keeping points on everything you take. Now they're adopting Ozempic, which is the, Wegovy, which is a Novo Nordisk weight loss drugs. The company's strategic, making a strategic shift to align itself with popular drugs used for weight loss, notably Novo Nordisk Ozempic, facing the mounting pressure. You know, I just think that it's going to disrupt a lot of things if you run through it. The other company that we're going to get to, the sleep apnea companies are saying, well, you know, the biggest reason for sleep apnea is overweight. Being overweight, is it going to affect the sleep apnea companies? Well, Weight Watchers is going to, adopt the Ozempic. They're going to bring the telehealth company Sequence under its umbrella, and it paves the way for Weight Watchers to prescribe weight loss medications, a departure from their traditional weight loss strategies. How do you like that? And ResMed is upgraded at J.P. Morgan, saying the GLP-1 threat is overdone. So at least they say, you know, as far as sleep, they're one of the biggest makers of sleep apnea machines. So far, they're not impacted. We heard last week, when it trickles down to Walmart, Barry,
yeah, right.
It's real, okay? Now, if it trickles down to Chick-fil-A, we know that it is, you know, it's a tidal wave. Cybersecurity stocks, yes, linked to, you know, it's funny because Chick-fil-A is not open on Sunday, okay? They observe the Sabbath at Chick-fil-A, God bless them. And there's another one that doesn't, right? It's, what is it, Wing, it's, you know, the one there by...
Oh, Big Lots. One of Big Lots.
No. The chicken... finger place.
Oh, you're talking about Canes. Raising Canes.
Canes. Yeah. Okay, right. So Canes is open on Sunday. And there's a line around the block on Sunday because Chick-fil-A's closed.
You can't even get into Lowe's from that entrance on Sunday because of the folks waiting in line for chicken fingers. And all Canes sells is, as long as you like chicken fingers,
that's all they have.
All you're getting.
So. Yeah. So anyways, there's that. Zscaler, I'm going to mention Zscaler, ZS. That thing broke out yesterday. That is just a beautiful chart. You know what? I mean, I keep a list of my top candidates, and Zscaler's been there for about a month, but because of the weakness in the NASDAQ and everything, I've just kind of been waiting for it to break out through its resistance level. It did it yesterday, and it's following through today. What's the symbol? ZS, and today Barclays is upgrading the shares. You know, cybersecurity is a big thing. You know, you take a look at now wars are started with cybersecurity attacks and taking down the enemies or the perceived enemy or the opposition's you know, capabilities of blocking an attack. So it's a big thing.
And I still can't believe we haven't seen more cyber attacks here since, it doesn't mean they aren't happening, that we're not seeing them behind the scenes, but I can't believe we haven't had more cyber attacks here since Russia invaded Ukraine. We've been, you know, those stocks got a pop when that happened, in the idea that that was, you know, could get a barrage of those, but, you know, you really haven't seen them, or, you know, some of them have been behind the scenes. You hear about the very large ones, especially ones that affect publicly traded companies. But it's really, you know, overall, it seems like it's been much of a kind of a non-issue compared to what you would have thought would occur.
Well, okay, let's take a look at Pepsi. There are the first one here, really of any significance to report. Now, on Friday, we get all the big banks. Today, there's really nothing. But Pepsi came in. They beat earnings by 10 cents. They were another one that the street was warning of the impact of the weight loss drugs on the soda pop companies. But Pepsi came in. They beat by 10 cents. Well, we had a hot summer. You got to drink a lot of, stay full of liquid. My wife always says, you need to drink more water. I'm drinking Diet Coke. There's nothing wrong with that. Revenue of $23 billion in line. Let's see how the stock is responding. Pepsi is up 2%. So there you go. I mean, does that establish a trend, you know? Is a trend in place? Are many companies going to come in and beat earnings? Well, this is just number one. But it is a good start. Pepsi gains after organic sales shine in Q3. And I'm trying to think, is it Rockstar that Pepsi bought? I think they bought one of the big, one of them bought
Energy
Monster.
Yeah. No, didn't they buy Celsius? I thought they bought Celsius.
No, Celsius is an independent. They may have made an investment in
that's
Celsius.
I think that's what it was.
I think they bought Rockstar. And Coca-Cola made a big investment in Monster Energy, and these have become major players in the beverage market. Pepsi bought Rockstar for $3.9 $1 billion. How would you like to be the guy that started Rockstar? I've actually heard him many times. It's Michael Savage, his son. Michael Savage was
really?
One of the top radio guys for many years,
yeah.
Very controversial, way out there on the edge every day. He's still around. He still does his talk shows out of the Bay Area. But it was his son that started delivering cases of Rockstar in limousines to parties and whatnot. Grew the business. $3.9 billion is what they paid for that. Now, the biggest one these days is Celsius. And, yes, I believe Pepsi has a big investment in Celsius. And we actually own Celsius stock in our emerging growth portfolio because they are a major player in this whole thing. Not much progress in the strikes. You know what? This is getting pretty serious. This is costing, now you're getting into hundreds of millions of dollars. We'll be in Detroit next week. I'm not going to walk the picket line. I'm going to just stay out of it. I'm neutral on it. United Auto Workers not getting any better. It's in its fourth week. And, you know, like I say, Tesla is the big beneficiary of all this. Okay, when we come back, we'll take a look underneath the surface of the market and see what is driving today's rally. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with a rally in place. You know,
strong one in some of
yeah,
the names we own. Wow.
The turning point, the real turning point was on Friday when you got the better than expected, way better than expected jobs report. That should have blown up the market. That's usually what happens because it blows up the interest rates. They bolt higher, which they did. And the market initially wobbled and went down, and then it turned around with a vengeance. And that's what led me to title my newsletter this week, Soft Landing, because I think they stopped thinking about, oh, he's just going to keep hiking interest rates, to saying, wait a minute, the economy is remaining good here despite, all the rate hikes. That equals a soft landing, which is good overall. And then you follow that up today with the upgrading of the U.S. growth from 1.8 to 2.1 by the International Monetary Fund.
And they increased 2024's expected growth by 0.5%. So
yeah, exactly.
So even and, a more soft landing. Are we?
Yeah.
I feel like we're one of those planes that land on the water, right? It's just, a real soft landing.
Yeah, and it does make a big difference for the market. You don't want a hard landing because that's the worst of all worlds. There are recession and high interest rates, stagflation. And I'm seeing support for our theory in our analysis, because I'm seeing economically sensitive stocks leading the way today. And I'm seeing a broad participation. If I look at the Dow, Coca-Cola is up 2.3%. I'm sure that's on
Pepsi's
the heels
earnings.
Of Pepsi. But that's consumer, okay? That's the consumer sector. Nike's up 1.7, another consumer sector. American Express, a financial, which relies on a good economy, people using their American Express cards to purchase, it's up 1.5, okay? And then the only real stock of any note that's down in the Dow is Travelers, down 1.1 because it's an insurance stock. And the interest rates being down, it's going to be down a little
interest
bit.
Interest rate sensitive. They benefit from higher interest rates.
Exactly. We look at the S&P 500. Truist is the leader, at up 6.5. I think there's some news specific to Truist. They're unloading one of their divisions.
I don't think it has any. Didn't have anything to do with the Braves winning in the playoff game last night, I would imagine.
You know what? And my favorite team, the Dodgers, who San Diego loves to hate, and I love to hate them, I have a shirt that says Beat L.A. they got lost two in a row. You know what?
Kershaw got lit up in that first inning of the series, right?
This would be the second year in a row where they win 100 or more games and get bumped. If they do, I mean, Arizona's up 2-0 in the Dodgers ballpark.
Yeah, and they're going back to Arizona now, right?
So. Yeah, and that Arizona team, you know, I'm pretty impressed with their team. Okay, and they're saying, where are your Padres, Gunderson? Well, you know what? The Diamondbacks beat us out by two games, and we had an awful season. Enphase is up 6%. That's solar. Gap Stores is up 5.7%. This is the S&P 500. That's a very, you know, important retailer. Albemarle, which is lithium, is up 4.9%. Generac, for some reason, maybe Israel, I don't know. Generac's up 4.8% today. Target. Now, if that's not a bellwether of the economy, I don't know what is. Target's up 3.8%. The only stocks that are down today in the S&P, the REITs continue to get pounded. Of course, Seeking Alpha, if you just read Seeking Alpha, the only stock you would ever own would be Realty Income. I know Realty Income very well. I saw many presentations. It's a company headquartered in San Diego. And, yes, it is a very good real estate investment trust, and they pay monthly income. That was their big deal. Instead of quarterly or twice
a private,
year,
I had monthly. I had a private REIT that I had clients, clients in, years ago, and they got purchased by O, and they made out well, but that was in 2012.
This is not a good environment, a high interest rate environment, and vacancies in the office space and the bricks and mortar space. They just have a lot of headwinds against them, and then the defense stocks are all down about 1.5-2% today. After a big rally yesterday. And in the NASDAQ, believe it or not, the biggest gainer is Dollar Tree, up 3.4. I think I could safely say that I'm not seeing the big techs participating. I haven't taken a look. These are just the indexes. Yesterday, Microsoft had a huge day. NVIDIA had a huge day. AMD had another big day. Today, I don't see them moving. I see Tesla up 2.9%. I see Marriott up 2.6%. These travel stocks sold off yesterday for fear that people would be afraid to travel, number one, and number two, that oil prices would hike up airline prices and there would be less travel. But that seems to be that theory seems to be being overcome today. Okay, well, you know what? I know it's hard in the environment we're in today with so much world news and everything. But for the most part, you know, I turn it all off during the day and I look at those charts. After I do all my reading and, you know, thought process, then I look at the charts and they tell me a lot. And this is a pretty favorable market right now. I know we went through that sell-off, that 10% sell-off. It was pretty much the Fed. It was him saying higher for longer. Now they're saying that about oil, Barry, that they're using that term higher for longer about oil. And I think that's probably true. I don't think you're going to get up to 100, but we could get back up into the 90s, low 90s again. But when our friend Jerome Powell said that, that really, the market did not like that. But now it's recovering.
Halliburton's up 6.7% today at the moment. And a lot of these oil service stocks are just getting a pretty good pop today. So.
Well, Halliburton is one of the 18 stocks we own in the dividend and growth portfolio. Okay, if you'd like to set up an appointment, man, I've been putting a lot of new money to work coming in. I always enjoy doing that. I bought a few yesterday that we already own. I bought a brand new stock yesterday that we have never owned before. I'll be looking. I'll be on the prowl again today. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, talk to a certified financial planner. Call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. To keep up with the newsletter and what we think of the market every week, I think we've been right pretty much all year long. Go to GundersonCapital.com to get 2 free weeks. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.